Hi, I'm Brittany Phillips. Welcome to week two of The Gilded Time Traveler. I'm really excited about this episode because we are going to discuss one of my favorite things, quilting. So if that sounds good to you, then let's dive right in, get a cup of coffee, and let's get started. So this first segment, you might find a little bit boring. I hope not, but I have so many people tell me, that is really neat, that is so cool, how do you do that? I wish I could take the time, or make the time to do that and learn how to do that. And it's not that difficult, but I do understand needing the time to be able to learn, and that's kind of why I wanted to discuss in this first segment how I got started, because we can discuss later on, you know, how the basics really of quilting. First, I kind of want to talk about my love of it and trial and error, and if you can make it through that, then I will kind of explain some of the things that I have learned and some of the terminology. Okay. And also, I am no expert. I'm still learning. This has only been about a 3-year process for me. Yeah, about 3 years, I would say. So, it really all kind of began probably when I was pregnant with my daughter, Evelyn. If you don't know me personally, or you don't follow any of my other social platforms, maybe you don't know that I have a daughter, but I do. She's 4. Her name is Evelyn Scarlett. And when I was pregnant with her was really when I started kind of finding who I truly was. And I can't explain that. You just have to know what I mean. Like, I just saw things, and I just thought, oh, I love that. Why have I never realized how neat that is? I love that. I want to do that. I want to surround myself with those things. So I started thinking, how do I want her nursery to look? You know, what kind of theme do I want for her thing? And I remember laying on the couch one day, watching an episode of Little House on the Prairie in black and white. And it was honestly my first time truly watching it. And now I love that show. And of course they have quilts, and they, you know, they hand make quilts. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I mean, a light bulb just went off, and I thought... And you'll have to bear with me. I feel like I'm getting a little bit of a cold, if you can tell. Okay, so off subject. But I decided when I was getting all the things for her nursery, I started looking on Etsy. That's a really good place to find things if you don't have the time to make them. And I ordered some of the cutest burp cloths. They were quilted. I have made burp cloths quilted like that before. Since then, her diaper bag was also quilted, and it had these beautiful floral, it was pink with lace and florals. And you know, Etsy, it does cost a little bit more, but these things are basically all homemade. So I decided I really loved all the florals, and I want to say, not to toot my own horn or anything, it was right before the whole floral trend really kind of exploded. And if you know what I'm kind of talking about, suddenly that's what girls were wearing, women were wearing, it was on dresses, it was just literally on everything. And it kind of made me mad because I always like to be a little bit different, and I just wanted these really like antique-y vintage floral patterns, quilts, And then I was at a friend's house, and I was trying to explain, you know, what I wanted her room to look like. And she said, oh, you mean shabby chic. And I was like, what? And she's like, yes, shabby chic. Like, here, let me show you on Pinterest. That's another good place that you can find things like that. And I love sharing cute little just vintage looking outfits and some of those random things like birthday invitations, flower, I mean anything you can think of. I think I found the other day some bows that were made out of these like shabby kind of looking ribbons, and then they have like pearls and buttons in the middle, and you put them in their hair. And so yeah, Etsy, Pinterest, they're both great. They were great tools for me back then. So then I found myself kind of, and I know you'll think this is off subject, but honestly it is all related. I found myself beginning to read, even, you know, like the things that I write today, anthology books and just regular, you know, novels that were about farms, living out on the prairie. You know, you'll find books that say like the Farmer's Daughter collection, or a lot of pioneer stuff. I started really loving that, and that is also when I started watching When Calls the Heart. And I am going to have to save that for a whole nother episode. And I'm probably going to have my friend Hannah as a guest or co-host or whatever you want to call it for that episode for sure. So When Calls the Heart obviously is around the same time period that I was really getting into. I found a love for all things Pioneer. And obviously they had quilts too, and the same kind of shabby chic look that I just, like I said, wanted to wrap myself up in like a blanket. It was comforting. I wanted to decorate my home like that. Granted, you know, men, I do see women kind of decorate their home in like all pink, and I don't know how those men put up with that. I wouldn't do that to my husband, so I kind of stuck with Evelyn's room. And then if I ever get my photography studio made, then that's how it's going to look. And I'll put little bits and pieces of that in certain places, but for the most part I'm not going to force my husband to deal with lace and flowers and things like that all over the house. But the colors, you know, the pink and the little, I incorporated some blues in with my first quilt so that it wouldn't be too girly, but I am getting way ahead of myself because we're not ready to discuss my first log cabin quilt quite yet. So I started figuring out that this is kind of how I wanted to incorporate these things into my life, and figured out this is who I am, and it just felt so good. And so let's just flash forward. I have had Evelyn, her room was just gorgeous. I wish I could show you guys pictures, but this is not a blog. I made everything. I painted, we had vintage furniture that belonged to Randy. I had taken some, actually it looked kind of like a quilted pattern type paper that you get from Hobby Lobby for scrapbooks, and put it in frames and put them on the walls. I made her own mobile, and I actually used a hoop, which you could call it a quilting hoop if depending on the size. But I'm going to talk a whole nother episode. We'll call it Needlepoint Part 2, or Needle Crafts Part 2 later on, where I'll discuss more just sewing in general, any kind of needlepoint and crochet, and my club at the library, and cross stitch and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's how I made her mobile, was out of a cross stitch hoop. So, anyways, I remember very specifically laying in the bed one night, scrolling through online, and I stumbled across these quilting classes. And I just remember desperately wanting to do that. You know, Randy probably makes fun of me, but he can tell you that I get these ideas in my head and I just get so passionate about it. And when I set my mind to something, I am going to do it. If I don't want to do it, I'm really not going to do it. But if I set my mind to something, it's going to happen, and it doesn't matter what gets in my way. So I sent them a message on Facebook. And this is also a really good way if you want to get started. Get on Facebook. Just type in quilting classes, quilting cabin, quilt house, quilt shop. Quilt shop is probably a good one. I call it the quilt shop, but this particular one, it is in Asheville, Alabama, in a beautiful Victorian-looking home. Just absolutely gorgeous, and they live on the top floor and run the shop. And shout out to Tiffany. You can look her up, Tiffany Sews, on Instagram. And she's one of my favorite people. She's helped me a ton. So I remember being slightly discouraged because I sent them a message and I was like, you know, is it too late to sign up for these classes? I really, really want to learn how to quilt, but I just had a daughter. I just had a baby. And I'm just worried that I may not, you know, I don't know when I would have the time to do it. When are these classes going to be? And they responded and they said, well, unfortunately, this particular class is already full. They only have so many spots available. And they were kind of only doing them like over the summer. So I don't exactly remember that whole year. I mean, you know how it is when you have a new baby. I couldn't tell you what I did for that whole first year, honestly. I'd have to think pretty hard on it. But let's just fast forward to the next year. I believe it was the next year. Yes. It's summer, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to miss these classes. And I told my husband, Randy, how, you know, don't let me forget this. I really, really want to do this. It's important to me. And he was so supportive. I messaged them again and I said, hi, I don't know if you remember me or not. I just reached out. Like, you can't have anxiety or be nervous about just reaching out and asking. And I said, please, you know, let me know when you're having these classes again. And they were having another class. And it's not just like a general quilting class. I mean, each one is different. So the first one I was able to join, and I believe, if I remember correctly, that there's a fee. They also had sewing machines that you could rent. I ended up getting an old vintage one, not antique, but a vintage one from my Nana, who gave it to me. And it's currently out in my storage building now because I've had a few since then. And I just don't have room for all these sewing machines. I kind of had the man who worked there tinker with it, and it was the owner's husband, and he charged about $80 he repairs, and they like kind of restore your sewing machine. If you find like an old one at a yard sale or something like that, and maybe it doesn't work the best. Goodness, this cold that has come on. So, if I can properly talk now without my nose, without having to sniffle, and I apologize for that. So anyways, I scheduled going on a Saturday, and I want to say that it was about a 4-hour class. Maybe longer. I really can't remember. It might have been 6 hours. I'm not sure. That was a few years ago. And I went, and like I said, it was the most gorgeous building, and they were so helpful. And it was a log cabin quilting class. And if you don't know what a log cabin quilt is, you can kind of look that up, but it kind of has these like long strips, not squares, and these strips are side by side. It kind of reminds me of like a game of Tetris, if you remember what those patterns look like. Just think kind of slender strips in different patterns. It's not really like a diamond or triangular shape, and it's more of one of the easier ones to start with, so I definitely suggest beginning with that. Actually, I would say I would start with just a basic square. My mother-in-law did that. She, of course, hand-stitched hers. But if you don't know what I mean, just pick out your fabric and you cut them into squares, and you're just going to sew them together, and then you'll add your border and things. And they can be different types of fabric, so you have different patterns on there. But that way you're not doing anything that's too intricate and difficult. And then once you've got that down, then you can kind of start adding to it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I was not afraid. I was. And I made a lot of mistakes in my first quilt. But I packed me a little lunch and I went, and they helped me pick out my fabric. And I promise you, I have looked it up. There are going to be quilt shops, at the very least, if there's not a quilt house like that around you. I can't promise that they offer classes, but you just have to ask, because somewhere there will be someone who can teach you. Also, I would also suggest, I am a member of the county that I live in, Blount County's Quilting Guild. You can look that up. Your county should have one, or at least a nearby one. And ours is at the Palisades, and we meet. They have meetings a few times a week. The business meetings are every Tuesday. Every other Saturday they sew. I will say though that they have certain kind of projects that they work. You can work on what you want, but they kind of have, I don't want to say a schedule, but they have certain things that they get done. Like, for instance, they'll have a Christmas quilt. They'll have like a regular quilt that they are hand quilting, hand piecing, and quilting together all year long. And then they raffle it off at the town fair. How cute is that? And it just costs not very much for the whole year to be in it. I want to say I might pay like $15, and I got my own little pin. And I remember I had two photo shoots that happened to be, I scheduled them at the Palisades so that I could go to my first meeting after that, and I was so excited. And I remember leaving with my little pin, and I just felt so special. And so you have to renew your membership every year, and then we have like a cute little Christmas party that we go to and things like that. And I will say that they know, because I have three children, that I can't always, you know, make it. So don't let that discourage you. If you are dealing with the same issues that I am like that, just because you can't go all the time doesn't mean that you shouldn't pursue it. I will be the first to admit that right now I haven't really been able to quilt in a while. Before all this quarantine stuff started, I finally was able to go to one of their meetings, and I paid my dues for the year. It was the start of the year, and I picked back up working on my Irish chain quilt. And I'm hoping that they'll start having meetings again soon, but there will be some young people who are interested, and I think it's wonderful when they do. When I say young people, it could be people my age, it could be people just a little bit older, it could be even sometimes I've seen kids and teenagers, and I love that. They even have a little sewing machine at Walmart. It's like a toy. It's like a real sewing machine. Imagine kind of like an Easy Bake Oven. The Easy Bake Oven of sewing machines. I can't wait to get one for Evelyn. I told Randy I wanted to get one, and he was like, she's two at the time. I was like, okay, maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I was like, what if they don't have it later on? Like, so back to my classes. I ended up picking out the most beautiful fabrics, and I'm telling you, every time I would get done with like a sewing meeting, I would just go search through the fabrics, and I would take photos of the fabrics that I like to get. I mean, they have so many things, and some of it's seasonal. I could just look all day in there, especially when they would let me know, hey, we got some new stuff, we got some new fabrics, and you want to look? Of course I want to look. And I would already be planning my next quilt. And, you know, the thing that a lot of people probably will forget to tell you, though, is especially the older women that quilt, which I kind of forgot to say a minute ago, a lot of the people you will see, there will be some younger people, but there's a lot of elderly people or women, and I don't know, because of this whole coronavirus, how quickly they'll start meeting again, you know, because of the health risk. But so anyhow, so I'm looking for my fabric, and I chose a blue with some florals, like I discussed, and I want to say that it had some little stars on it, and some polka dots, and then a lot of roses, and some browns. So we had different shades of pink, blue, and brown, and white, or not even white, maybe like a cream kind of off-white color, and I believe it was actually called, they were a 30s, like 1930s, I can't think of the exact term for it, but it's like where they kind of recreate these exact patterns and fabrics that existed from the 30s. So that was pretty neat. So basically I had these vintage fabrics that I chose for my quilt, and I thought, well, you know, you can't really go wrong. It won't be too girly to have in my home. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do with it. Fold it up, put it in the living room, or on my bed. Because it's really, the first quilt that you want to do is really kind of a throw quilt. It's not small, but it's not big enough. I would say it's probably big enough to cover a twin bed. And that's it. And that's a good size to start on. And you could always make it bigger by adding a larger border. So I got started, literally had no clue what I was doing. I tried watching YouTube videos, and I will have to look up in just a minute on my Kindle the name of the YouTube videos, the woman who was so popular that we all were suggested to watch. Let me see while I'm talking if I can find her, because it will help you. Let's see. So while I'm looking this up, I got started. Let's see. Quilting videos. Bear with me. If anybody knows who I'm trying to figure out, who this person is, please send me a message and let me know, because it's going to bug me, but I haven't had to watch them in a while. But not only can you watch the YouTube videos now, but they even had like old DVDs that you could buy at the quilt shop. Which I found hilarious. So they had to teach me how to use it, and I had the most trouble with the simplest thing, which was learning how to thread my needle. Now, I can't really tell you how to do that because you're not going to be able to you know, just listen to my direction. You need to be able to see it. Okay, let me try this again. I'm going to try one more time. To see if I can find this woman. Maybe it's difficult to find her now because there's so many people, which is great, quilting on YouTube. Well, I can't seem to find her. That's going to bug me. I will ask Tiffany later. But, as I said, you don't have to find her because, obviously, there's so many people now on YouTube quilting. And it makes me so happy to see that it's kind of coming back. So, let's see, what else? I get started sewing and... The ladies were all very helpful. They had this amazing little shack outside of the actual house in this little sunflower patch. And when you go into the restroom, it's like covered with cat, like little ceramic cats. And when you go into the kitchen, you can get coffee and they've got these teapots and everything. And it's just so cute. It's adorable. So you go into this little shack. Every Wednesday they have meetings from 10 to 2. That's the usual because that's pretty much what they also do during when you go to the Quilters Guild. They also have quilt shows at the Palisades here. That's something if you're interested in. Maybe just go to a quilt show. Take a look around. I have entered my quilts into the quilt show. I think I skipped one year, possibly whenever I was pregnant with my son Wallace, but just take a look around. They also sell some really neat little things, and it's fun to just go. I've taken Evelyn, and we just kind of look at all the quilts and things like that, and they will win awards for hand stitching. There's a big difference, if you don't know, hand stitching and then machine, obviously. And what a lot of people will do, which you can do, is you can like machine quilt, piece together your quilt top, and then you can hand quilt it, or the other way around. So I'm sewing and they're teaching me, and I will admit that I had no idea what I was doing, and I would have to kind of like wait for them to finish, for the teacher to finish showing everyone else what to do, even though we have these paper packets that show what to do and you kind of baste, which I'll explain what basting is later if you don't know, little squares of fabric onto these little drawn squares on the paper, and it kind of shows you what the quilt is supposed to look like. I've never been one who's very good at directions, so if I can do this, you guys, you can do it. And I'd also went, and I just went to Walmart. You can go to Hobby Lobby, go wherever, you know, go to a Joann's fabric store, and I bought myself a very cute little box that holds all your little, like, sewing trinkets and, your bobbins and your needles and thread and all that kind of stuff, and it should come with your rotary blade. That's the round thing that you cut with, which I need a new one because it's dull. It needs a new blade. But keep in mind that at the shop they also sell a lot of those things. So I did that, and then I bought the t-shirts like with the, you know, the quilt cabin on it, because I'm a nerd and I like to sleep in them, and I just immediately felt like I was a part of a club. So I start piecing together the fabric, and I was like, oh, this is beginning to look like something. And then as soon as I would get really, really into it, I mean, I've been sewing for like 4 hours, and at that point my back is hurting. But I, like I said, I would just sit there, wait on them to be able to come and help me. then it would be time to go. Everyone would kind of start packing up, and then we clean up the needles out of the floor and everything, which is another reason that I was not about to bring the baby with me or anything, even just to sit in the stroller. And I'd go home and I'd show my husband, look at what I've done this week. And then after that class, what they offered was every week, 10 to 2, on Wednesdays, you could come and bring whatever project you're working on, and they will try to help you. And the women, I would pack my little lunch, and my mother-in-law would watch Evelyn for me. I'd get up early enough to get my bags together and take my sewing machine. I did try to sew at home, and I found it kind of difficult. I can do it, but I would get upset because I needed help and I didn't have that guidance. I'd gotten so kind of dependent on, if I need to ask a question, I want them to be there to help me and show me. And it's a lot to get out, especially with children running around. So every now and then I would, but don't feel bad if you can't at home, you know, because it was hard for me too. So I would kind of had to wait till that next week. And then of course, you know, I got to where I couldn't go every single week. But I'd pack my lunch, and I remember driving through the beautiful roads to the Palisades, and I would listen to Celtic Woman, and it would just kind of get me in the mood, and oh, it was just beautiful. And I'd wear my overalls and my little bandana, and I was like ready to sew and look at the sunflowers and everything. And I was so determined to finish that quilt, because like I said, when I put my mind to something, I am getting it done. So I finished that one pretty quickly. I made sure. Even if I didn't want to ask for a babysitter, I did. And I went. And Tiffany really helped me finish up the border. And then when you finish the border, then you do the binding. And she showed me how to do that. And it felt, of course it felt tedious, but that's part of kind of what quilting is. And so anyways, I finished it, and do not feel bad if you don't know how to quilt. Now, when I say quilt, I mean what you actually do to hold the pieces together on top. Like, once you've sewn that whole pattern, like the whole top of fabric together, then after your binding, you know, not your binding, but, after everything, you'll see patterns of thread over the top, maybe like flowers, or they call it meandering, and just, you know, kind of a random pattern. You have got batting. Batting is what looks like cotton, you know, that's on the back. That's the actual part that makes it like a real blanket. And you have to hold that quilt top and that batting together. And then you get to pick out whatever backing you want. There's a few different types of things. If you just want fabric, you can do that. And I used a completely different fabric for the backing, and also for the binding than was on any of the front of the quilt. And I forced myself to get it done. And there was a lot of mistakes. But luckily, when you're done, to a normal person who doesn't quilt or sew, they're not going to notice a lot of those mistakes. And once everything's put together, you don't see a lot of those mistakes. Because it's kind of like they're in the middle of the quilt. They're on the inside, if that makes sense. It's on the back of your quilt top. So, once I finish it, I can remember, like, holding it up, taking pictures, and I was like, look, you know. And why I said, don't feel bad if you can't quilt. I'm still wanting to learn how to quilt myself, but I'm afraid to do it on any of my projects, because, you know, I need to practice, I don't want to ruin it. So, my best advice is to get just some fabric and practice on it. What a lot of people do, what I usually do for now, is I will take it to them, and the owner is really, really good at that. She lets you pick out whatever kind of pattern you want on the top. And there are different prices. Usually, I think there were different prices, but it was about $60. So you're paying for the class, you know, your supplies, your sewing machine, whatever, if you don't have one. And then you're going to pay for your fabric, which isn't too bad. And then you're going to pay for getting the actual quilt put together. And it would just take like 2 weeks, and they quilt it for you, and they called, and they said, okay, it's done, it's ready. And I was so excited, and when I showed it off, another thing that you're going to have to deal with is people saying, oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. Will you make me a quilt? Will you make this kind of quilt for me? Do you sell those? Everyone I know that quilts has had to deal with this. No offense if you've ever asked me this, but you can ask anyone who quilts. People want the quilts, but they don't want to pay what they would have to pay for it. And if you've ever noticed that something, especially that's hand quilted, you have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for, there's a reason for that. It's expensive to make, and also, because I mean, I don't want to say, you know, it might have costed me $200 just to get started, and then to create that quilt and to finish it up, by the time I had everything that I needed and the class and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, even if I say, yes, I will make this for you, you're gonna have to pay me though to get the fabric. You gotta pay for the fabric, and you gotta pay for my time. And also, if I don't even have time to finish my own quilts and projects, which I started saying earlier, and I got really off subject when I was talking about different age ranges of people who quilt. The older women, they all told me, look, I've had projects in my closet sitting there for 20 years, and that's hard to imagine, which I'm only 30 years old, but, you know, I am also kind of OCD, I feel like, when it comes to things like that. But I have started projects and never finished them. I want to finish them. Even if it takes a few years, I'm going to finish them. And I tell myself, I'm not starting another quilt until I finish this one. And I am working on, I believe, my third one. So, yes, people will want you to make quilts for them. And even when I said, look, I'm not an expert, you know, it may look good, but I'm not like a professional. There are other people who can make this for you. And I have people ask, can you repair this? Can you do this and that? And I was like, look, I'm not the best in the world. I'm still learning. But it was so much fun. I just felt, that place felt like home, you know. No offense to the quilt cabin. I mean, I love it there. But the quilt house, that just, it just feels kind of like a haven for me. Like, I was like, these are my people, you know. Which is how I feel whenever I go to a theater practice, you know. So then I started after that. I immediately wanted to take, I was really kind of overzealous, and I wanted to take another class. And the next one was also a somewhat simple quilt, and that is the Irish chain quilt. So I started that. I thought people can make Irish chains, like there's also a double Irish chain in any color, really. But you know me, I'm obsessed with all things Celtic and Irish and Scottish, and I thought, if this is an Irish chain, I want to make this one hopefully a little bit larger, because my husband wants one that'll fit on our whole bed, which we just have a full, and because it's definitely vintage, and he won't get rid of our bedroom suit. So anyways, I haven't been able to finish that one yet, because I had to hit pause on it to start another one. But I chose a lot of greens, and there's a certain type of fabric, and I think it's called what is it called? Maybe I haven't had enough coffee. I can't think of anything this morning. PK? What? There's a certain type of fabric which is my favorite. It means whether you flip it upside down or upright, the fabric looks exactly the same. I mean, think about it. You have kind of a front to a fabric, and you flip it over, and you can tell that that's the back. Well, I chose not to do that with these fabrics, and then I chose the most gorgeous gold border. I just loved all the patterns. There was leaves, there were words, there was these, I don't even know how to explain it, but I was so excited about it. And I managed to get some of the squares done on that. And sometimes you'll think when you're sewing these little pieces together, this is never going to become something. And then you see it start to come together and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And then you immediately want to finish it and you have like no patience. And so anyhow, I had to kind of hit pause on that after that class, and I paid to take it and everything, you know, and I got my fabric and I start working on it. I had to put that up because I decided I was going to make my grandfather a quilt for Christmas, a t-shirt quilt, because I used to go to car shows with him. And I don't know if I might discuss in another episode the 50s, how obsessed I was with the 50s growing up. They're a lot more glamorous than a lot of the times that I will be discussing, so we'll see. But he had a lot of car show t-shirts, and I wanted to make him a quilt of that for Christmas. And I'm not going to lie to you, it took 2 Christmases for me to have it done. But I started it the start of November, I believe. And I had the quilt top done by December, but then it took me an entire year to finally have it finished. Not because I was hand stitching or anything like that. I just got busy and I didn't have time, or I forgot, or I was trying to also work on my Irish chain, and I just wanted to give it to him for Christmas. And it just kept getting like put off, you know. And then I finally found a way to get the binding done, which was hand stitched. And also, if you need help with something like that, there are people you can find. Ask the quilt house or where a quilt shop. There are people out there who will just do binding for you. You know, don't feel afraid. You still made this quilt, even if someone else does a small part on it. Don't feel like that means that you didn't do it. And he had to show it off to everyone, you know, and he really liked it. And I even did this one square where I believe at Hobby Lobby they have this type of paper. I don't remember the name of it, but you can iron on photos to it. It's pretty neat. So I had a photo of me in my little poodle skirt, you know, when I was a child with him, and I ironed it onto one of the squares. And some of the t-shirts that my grandmother gave me, you know, it was this big secret, actually had his face on them, because he had t-shirts with like him standing next to his cars and things like that. And it was pretty neat. So my Irish chain, I finally, after Wallace was born, was able to start back at the Quilters Guild, the cabin, with that. And I would love to find time to go to the quilt house. I'm not sure, they might be opening back up now, and if you're local you should give them a visit. But I know that there's another one, or a quilt shop in Boaz. And if you're not even from Alabama, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a short break, and probably to get some more coffee. And I just want to thank my sponsors for today and for this episode. And we will get back into discussing a little bit more about the history of quilting. And maybe I can find the video that I was trying to talk about, you know, an actual expert, and some of the terminology. Hi friends, I'm back. I'm recaffeinated. So the name I was trying to think of was Eleanor Burns, and she does a series called Quilt in a Day. Yes, you can do that. So that shouldn't sound too scary. So anyway, something else I wanted to discuss is if you try to go to Walmart for fabric, they no longer have the fabric area, like section that they used to. I can remember when working on my grandfather's t-shirt quilt, trying to go to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. I remember listening to Ed Sheeran, driving along at night, so excited before Christmas to go get fabric that was only supposed to be kind of for like the border and things like that. And all they had was fat, what we call fat quarters, which you can't do very much with. And I was really disappointed in that. So don't think that you're going to be able to find too much there. Speaking on t-shirt quilts, one of the biggest things people have asked me to make, if you start quilting, that is one of the biggest things people will ask you to make. It's a cool project, but sometimes quilt shops don't want to quilt them together for you because they're just more difficult. And I'm not going to say it was that hard for me, but I was warned that they were kind of a pain because you have to buy this special stuff. Of course, I can't think the name of anything as soon as I'm trying to record my podcast, but you have to buy this. It's kind of like a transfer fabric that goes on the back of your actual t-shirt fabric. It helps. It's like a stabilizer. It helps you sew through it because t-shirt fabric is very difficult to sew on. So I'm sure that's something that you can look up and maybe find the exact name of. I know it's a stabilizer, but if you choose to take on that task, that project, then just know that you're going to need something like that, or it's going to be kind of aggravating because you'll probably end up tearing your fabric, and we don't want to tear up our t-shirts. So some of the things that I had to learn, and this is only the tip of the iceberg, some of the terms, let's see, basting, when I talked about that, there is something called applique, which is something where you kind of create like a little, say a character. Sunbonnet Sue happens to be one of the more common ones and one of my favorites, and she's very recognizable, almost like a Holly Hobby, if you will. And side note, Evelyn's first birthday, of course, had to be Holly Hobby themed, and so was her bedroom. I'm sure I'll end up talking about Holly Hobby somewhere in some of my other episodes. If you don't know what that is, it's similar to Strawberry Shortcake, and it's vintage and it's really cute. So Sunbonnet Sue, you're gonna cut out and create your little applique. Then you take basting glue, which should come with your box that you get at Walmart with all of your accoutrement in it. And if you're really in a bind, you can use a glue stick. It's really kind of just meant as temporary, and you're gonna glue that on to where you want to sew it. That way you go and you sew that on top of your fabric square, of that square. So that is that's how you applique, and it's really cute. And I come to think of it, I might add it later, but I really wish I had asked Tiffany if she had time to be a guest on this episode, and to send, I might ask her to send in a voice message later when she has time. We shall see. Let's see what else. I was so excited to tell you guys about, if you did not keep up with my Facebook, last year around the fall, I was ready to be in another play, and there's a musical called Quilters, and I took my little sister to it. But I auditioned and I was so excited, and I don't want to get on a tangent because this is not a theater episode. And don't worry, we'll probably discuss Shakespeare whenever I do my theater episode so that it's still relevant. But so I auditioned, and it was kind of, believe it or not, my first real musical to be in, even though I've been singing my whole life. And so they told me that I almost made the cut, but there were people who were younger than me, who had so much under their belt, like so much on their resume, and it's a very, very difficult play that I'm about to discuss to, or musical to just kind of be thrown into. It's like a sink or swim type of situation, and it was the Theater of Gadsden, at the Ritz Theater that I was auditioning for, and I can remember singing and practicing, and I like breathed, slept, ate this play that I'd never seen before for weeks before this audition. And it was called Quilters. And if you're not familiar with it, you can YouTube some of the videos. Now, the whole point of a play is not to be recorded, but there are videos. And when I saw what it was about, I was just like, oh, it's just calling my name, you know? This is for me. I believe in signs. And I felt like God had sent this play to me, even though it was an hour's drive for each practice. Like I said, I auditioned, and then they said that they just were really afraid that I would have to learn to harmonize and it would take too long, whereas some of the other girls whose voices maybe weren't even as mature as mine, they already knew how to do that, and it was too important of a play, too difficult of one to not get it right. Which I respected and I understood, but I completely thought I had that audition in the bag. I mean, I thought I had the part. But I also believe that everything happens for a reason. And I was a little bit afraid with my children and everything. What if I can't, you know, what if I can't make every practice? Or what if it just consumes my life? And I thought it just wasn't meant to be right now. But I added it to my list. One day, this is one of the roles that I'm going to play. And it was an ensemble cast. Everyone sings, and there's only about like six people in the whole play playing different ages, different characters, and things like that, if you don't know what that means. And we're not going to get into theater, but it is about quilting. And I enjoyed taking my sister to it because it really touched on the history of quilting. It was a beautiful, beautiful piece about women in the pioneer times. You know, they had a lot of children. They had corn cob dolls. If you don't know what that is, they didn't have money for dolls, so they used corn cobs and created strands of hair, you know, from the corn and everything. And so, anyways, there's a lot of sad parts to this musical. And I felt kind of like my sister was being able to see, because she's a teenager. She was able to kind of see a little bit in my life when it came to the quilting, why I love anything from the 1800s, really, or early 1900s. And also the theater aspect and the singing and performing part. And I love being able to share that with people. And that's part of the reason that I started this. And it discusses throughout these women's lives, as they get older and their children get older and everything, they all learn to quilt. Even if it was nothing but scrap fabric that people donated to them, or the church donated them, because most people were poor, and they would piece together these quilts out of nothing. And even if the pieces did not match, you know, there's all these different kinds of quilts. You know, they all have different names. You know, like I mentioned, the log cabin quilt, and the double Irish chain and things like that. And it's truly amazing how they created these patterns and this artwork out of this scrap fabric. And that's something that I hope one day that I can learn to do, a more difficult pattern. You know, some of these stars are just, they're intricate, especially when they're hand done. And I'm not saying this to scare you, because it is completely doable. It's all about time, patience, comprehension, you know, things like that. And I think I did tell you guys that Eleanor Burns was the name I was trying to find. And I was kind of watching some of her videos again for the first time in a while. So I'm going to look up on my Kindle some of the other things that I wanted to touch on before it dies, because I'm running out of time. I'm trying to keep this at an hour, and you may think, how can you discuss quilting for an hour? Oh, as I said, I'm only touching on this subject. It's really just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much things that I haven't even done, things I haven't even learned. So a blocking, that's basically making your blocks, the squares. Bleeding, you have to wash your fabric, especially red. Red is a really difficult one. Wash it all before you sew your quilt together, because if you don't and then you go to wash it, the colors will bleed together. You don't want that. And a really good suggestion that any quilter will tell you is to get those color catchers, you know, like the they kind of resemble a regular dryer sheet. Always use those if you have to wash a quilt. And when you do wash a quilt, it needs to be gentle, never too hot water. And I would suggest a drying out on the line. I have a clothesline, of course, and I have like an old drying rack. Do that, and then if you don't want it to be stiff or wrinkled, an air fluff in the dryer, and that's really all that you need to do. Stitching in the ditch. I don't know if I can give the best explanation of that. I believe you might have to watch a video on that. Let's see. Fussy cutting. That's funny. Basically what it sounds like, where nothing is perfect. We've discussed the applique, sunbonnet sew, quilting in the ditch. Okay, yes. That is when you are quilting within the seams of the quilt. Let's see, you always want to square up your quilt blocks. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some good points that I don't want to forget, some suggestions for when you get started, if you do decide to ever get started. Betweens, that is the type of needle that you want to use. It's small, it's not as sharp. Speaking of which, you will prick your finger a lot no matter what. What else? We don't want to leave anything out before this episode is over with, and I just know that there's so much that we can talk about. And I know I'm forgetting things. I just know that I am. Let's see. We've discussed the backing of the quilt. A back stitch. When you're machine stitching, there is a button that you can hit where, as you're sewing, it's going to go backwards. And that really helps you close off. When you first start the little run and it starts stitching, start and end, you want to do that back stitch. It's like tying a knot. I also want to discuss with you guys, while I'm trying to remember some of these terms, my husband ended up getting me for my birthday, and I wish I could remember which birthday that it was. I want to say it was my 28th. I want to say 28th. I could be wrong. It could have been 29th. Birthday. He got me a quilting sewing machine. And there is a difference, because it's, I honestly don't know if the one that I have is the long arm and that's one that you can quilt with, but it just has a larger surface area for you to do your actual quilting. And it has a lot more, things on, like programs on it, that works better just for quilting and not just regular sewing, because you kind of want to have that. And you know, it was I It was around 200 and something dollars. If you want to know, and it's a Singer. There's a lot of different kinds of sewing machines. But to me, Singer is my favorite and it is the best. Speaking of sewing machines and Singer, I recently added something to my home that I'm really proud of. And it is an antique Singer sewing cabinet. And if you don't know what a sewing cabinet is, I have looked it up, and I'm pretty sure that this one is from the late 1800s. And I already had a sewing chair, but I'm going to kind of tell you guys about it in the part two later on, because it rocks, and you don't want the type that rocks when you're at an actual sewing machine. That's for, like, hand sewing and things like that. And this cabinet, it closes. It has a top, and it's large, and it closes up so that it covers the whole sewing machine. Now, it's not in working condition, but I believe one day when I have the time, maybe when all the children are in school, which I don't like to think about, I can have it actually serviced, and who knows, it might work again. And it actually has been in Randy's family on his dad's side for, well, I guess for generations, and I would really love to pass it down to Evelyn. She's my only daughter, and I'm through having children, so I'm hoping to instill in her a love for sewing like I have. And I wish I had had someone to teach me these things without me having to kind of figure it all out on my own. I did have some baby quilts. I have my brother's baby quilt. I have my baby quilt and things like that. I'm really happy that I held on to, because Randy also did, my husband, and we were able to pass those things down to our children. And I kind of took my first quilt. Right now it's on that sewing cabinet in the bedroom. But I gave it to my daughter for a little while. It's been in the living room. I change things up for every season. When it comes to antique furniture, like I was discussing my bedroom furniture earlier, this is how you want to take care of a cabinet like that. Once you clean it, take Vaseline and a thin layer, rub it all over that wood, and it helps keep it shiny and just protected, and it really helps to take care of it. And I had to find room for it in my bedroom, but now I just think it's gorgeous. I really wish I could show you guys these things, but I can't. But I do have photos of them on my Instagram, which is littlehouse_in_the_forest, if you would like to go and follow my page. I'm sure it's also somewhere in my Facebook. I'm always working on some sort of project and uploading it. And in fact, I worked on my Instagram highlights yesterday, and I'm going to probably later on have to make my own highlight reel of nothing but all of my projects and sewing projects and things like that. I told you guys about your rotary cutter. It just means it's round. It's very sharp, and it has to be very sharp. And you can use sandpaper to sharpen them. You also are going to want your cutting board, which kind of has these slits in it for you to use your rotary cutter in. And then you have got your cutting board that'll go actually under that. And you've got measurements all over it. And you can turn it, because most of the time whenever I end up quilting, I have certain a certain amount of inches that I certain in at. I try to keep them the same, kind of like whenever you're sewing on your machine. I'm pretty sure I always use a quarter inch seam, and you'll learn all about that if you start to learn about your sewing. Again, if this was a YouTube channel, I could show you guys how to do this, but I thought about it, but I just really didn't want to be on camera, if I'm being honest. Obviously, you guys should know what patchwork means. I mean, let's see. If you are hand quilting anything or hand sewing anything, remember, you don't have to necessarily sew a knot, but you can go back in and you kind of can stick your needle up underneath the thread a few times and just sew in that same little spot, and that will close it off for you. And if you ever do get thread that is hanging off, you don't ever really want to just tear it. Make sure that you cut it off, and then you do go back and that you do exactly that, and that should close that up. We are about to have to close out today's final segment. Like I said, there's so much more that we can discuss, but I can't go on forever. So I hope that you guys enjoyed today's episode. Quilting is something very important to me. I haven't had a lot of time for it the past few months, but play around with it. Even if you only get to work on it every few months, I know one day when all the children are gone or they're in school all day, I'll have more time, and who knows, I may do what people have been asking for and be able to make enough things to sell them. Right now, you know, I'm only working on my own personal quilts and items and things. And I will be thinking about next week's episode. If you guys want to send me a voice message, just let me know what you want to talk about, because last week it was television and we had projects this week, and I'm thinking about baking next week. So let me know what you guys think about that. And if you have any more questions about quilting, feel free to ask me. It's really a dying hobby. I don't even want to call it, now it's a hobby, but it used to be essential. It wasn't a hobby. So I will see you guys next week, and I hope you guys have an awesome Wednesday, and thank you so, so much. Bye, guys.